Alexandra Petri, you are the distinguished humor columnist and satirist for the Washington Post. But is it fair to also call you at heart a theater nerd like the rest of us?
Absolutely. Not just at heart, but also in other parts of me, like my spleen and elsewhere.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 902, Writing Tragedy Averted. Alexandra Petri's campfire comedy Tragedy Averted is having its Midwest premiere this weekend at the I.O. Theater in Chicago, and I confess, it's a family affair. My daughter Daisy is acting in it and co-producing it, and my wife Dee Ryan is directing it. Tragedy Averted features four of Shakespeare's tragic heroines, Juliet, Cordelia, Desdemona, and Ophelia, bonding at summer camp while struggling with romance, friendship, and difficult dads. Dee and I were excited to hop on Zoom last week and talk to Alexandra Petri about the origins of her comedy, how she came to write about Shakespeare's characters, and exactly what kind of nerd she is.
And just a regular nerd, but definitely a theater nerd. I feel like the kind of theater nerd who was not able to get it out of their system early by like starring in plays in high school and therefore is just doomed to a life of forever being, somehow theater adjacent, whether it's writing or attending or both.
Well, it does feel like a life in the theater it equates to doom. Clearly, you have a love of Shakespeare as well. What prompted you to write your campfire comedy, Tragedy Averted?
There's this funny W.H. Auden quote that has always stuck in my head, and that was sort of the genesis for the play, where he said that the problem with everybody in all of Shakespeare is that they're stuck in the wrong play. And all of these tragedies wouldn't happen if you put the characters in different plays. If you put, Hamlet in Othello, Iago talks to him and he's like, who is this guy? Forget it. Because he's not fundamentally insecure in the way that Othello is in his position in society. You put Othello in Hamlet, he's like, I'm just going to go and just do the revenge properly. And like, we're going to get out of here in like 20 minutes, So if you sub in the people, suddenly it all makes like you don't have your plays, which is catastrophic for you, the audience, but is a fun thought puzzle. And I also am somebody who loves it when you have a cool part for women. And Shakespeare is full of great parts for, everybody. But I especially like when let's write a show that's just like a really heavy on the roles for the gals. And so those two thoughts combined to produce a summer camp comedy called Tragedy Averted, where I may have spoiled somewhat maybe what happens, but then again, maybe I haven't because I've just done some exegesis. There I go, always ruining plots with my exegesis.
Tragedy Averted, comedy achieved. I have trafficked in the same world as you of giving Shakespeare's characters better plays to be in. There's a fun element of fan fiction to this. You want to give these doomed characters a better outcome, a better possibility, a better chances. Was the writing of the play cathartic for you in that sense?
Well, you always have catharsis anytime you're in theater, especially when you're doing a Greek tragedy. But especially, I think, as somebody who really has a deep affection for both Shakespeare and for sort of the art of fan fiction, because I think what really gets you into wanting to write fan fiction about something is that you really love the source text, but you also have a specific bone to pick with it. And you're like, this was good, but I have notes. I have a series of notes, and I'd like to assemble the notes together into a large document and put it on a stage or put it into the internet or whatever the case may be. And so in this case, it was both an opportunity to sort of get to give all of those notes that I'd had and to have fun sort of playing around in the world, because you do wonder like what would happen if these characters talk to each other, and they all have a lot in common, especially like you know, they all have fraught relationships with their dads. Most of his tragic heroines do. Some of them are very young. I was in the whole, like, what if Shakespeare's heroines had different endings before, you know, Max Martin and the gang after you, but, you know, before it became Broadway's number one hit musical with the music of Britney Spears et al.
Yeah.
That's definitely how you pronounce et al. It sounds like a guy named Al was like helping write the songs with Britney, and maybe he was. Who knows?
Al Brute. I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah, too soon. Yeah, the Ides are tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. As we speak, that's right. It's the eve of the Ides of March as we speak and record.
Yes.
These are famous Shakespeare heroines in your play. How much of yourself were you able to bring to each one of these characters? Or let me ask it a different way. Do these characters reflect aspects of yourself?
Well, I think characters always reflect yourself in the sense that the words that are coming out of their mouths are words that you put into their mouths. And so there's this sort of act of like CPR that you, the writer, are doing where you're like, here, put some words in, and now they're going to come out of the actor. But I think it's both that, like, the thing that I was interested in with each character also reflected my own personal interests and psychological eccentricities. And so the things that I'm like, oh, like Ophelia, like she gets it. I love how much she knows about plants. Or if I'm like Juliet, you need to calm down. But also, like, sort of there's a deep affection for myself at that age that I hope comes through. Like, both, like, I love all of these girls, and I love, like, you know, the people who are currently 13 and having too many feelings, or 17 and having making decisions that their fathers have serious questions about. I think, like, it's an ecosystem that I think is beautiful.
What's fun about this entire conversation and this entire process is that today I'm joined by my co-host and your tragedy averted director, Dee Ryan, who I want to encourage to jump in at any time and ask any questions.
I'm loving the conversation.
Great.
You're asking all the right questions. It's funny. I feel you in the scenes too. Are you an only child?
Yes. Can you tell?
Because Juliet has this whole thing about being an only child. And I'm like, oh, that's the author. and then I feel like Ophelia is you at the end. And do you think that's right? I feel like, oh, that's the author saying we need to go out and write more plays and change the endings of all these stories, of our stories. Is that
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it can be me, but hopefully it's not just me. So I think, I mean, as somebody who, there's this T.H. White quote that I've always loved where he's like, the cure for everything is to learn. Learn why the world wags and what wags it. And I, as a writer, I've always been like, well, the cure for everything is to write. It's not the cure for everything, but it always feels like, well, no matter what this experience is, I'm going to, like, somehow this is copy, as Nora Ephron said. This will go somewhere. It'll get to come out the other end in words in some way. And having that has always been like, oh my gosh, I'm hating today, but I'm but someday today will be grist. And so to me, that's always been a hopeful feeling. And one of the things I've loved about getting to be a writer.
Well, so. And that's the thing about writing too. It's like hopping off the crowded freeway and taking surface streets. You have the illusion that you're accomplishing something, even though
yes.
It might not actually be solving your current dilemma.
No, exactly. Yeah, you feel like, oh, I'm making so much progress. I'm turning left. I'm turning right. I'm going over a speed bump. I'm going over a series of speed bumps. I guess I'm just describing driving now, not really the process of writing. I'm signaling. I'm signaling again. As you say, writers often we have the illusion that like writing is doing something, which I think is a very sort of Hamlet-y way to feel. It's like, no, but if I just throw enough words at the problem will solve itself. Just, you know, I'm sure 9 personal essays will resolve whatever is going on in my life. And it's like, maybe it will. But then again, maybe you will just have created more problems. but I love the Hamlet energy where he's like, I'm having a serious like crisis, I'm going to put on a play about it. I find that very relatable. I'm like, who is this big loser? Where he's like, okay, like a ghost is telling me to do vengeance. Why don't I hire some actors and I'll write a little play that's like got veiled illusions. Like, who else on earth thinks this way? And I'm like, me. So this will solve it. We'll do theater about it. It'll solve it.
Hi, this is Mia Gosling, creator of Shakespeare webcomic Good Tickle Brain, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We'll be performing The Complete History of Comedy also this weekend at Hillsdale College and the Dogwood Center for the Performing Arts in Michigan on March 21st and 23rd, and the American Theater in Hampton, Virginia on April 12th, and the Hilton Performing Arts Center in Fairfax, Virginia on April 13th, 2024. Check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to our conversation with Alexandra Petri, who Shakespearean summer camp comedy Tragedy Averted, Dee Ryan, is directing this weekend at the I.O. Theater in Chicago. Dee had just asked Alexandra how she came to write Tragedy Averted and whether she's still writing plays in addition to her humor columns for The Washington Post.
Like, writing plays is one of those things where I'm always like, I don't have time to do anything, but the play is coming out whether I want it to or not. It was one of those things I'm like, oh, like, if I run out of time, maybe I'll just stop writing plays. And it turned out that my brain is not allowing that. It still wants to write plays. So, which is nice. I always worried I would stop, but I haven't so far. I just wrote one about, it's like Greek myth, but also parenthood. It's funky. It's got a minotaur in it. You know, your classic motherhood play with a minotaur. And what was I going to say? Oh, at the time I wrote it, it was for the DC Fringe Festival. And I mostly was just like, there's so many talented actresses and I want to give them all parts. Let's write a show that's just gals. Let's go to town. And so... and I know something that people have heard of. It's Shakespeare. And those two ideas were like, let's do a Shakespeare play. And you know what time it is? It's summer. Let's go to summer camp. Originally, it was going to be brunch. But then I was like, no, these kids are too young for brunch. They're gonna do an age-appropriate activity.
And have you, I suspect you're not going to be able to get to Chicago to see the Midwest premiere, but do you get to see your plays performed at all? And does that experience change your feelings about the script ever?
Yeah, always, always. It's because what I love about playwriting so much that I don't get in other forms of writing is you get to like see other people's brains applied to what you've written, and it's always revelatory in some way. You're like, oh, like this person's doing this really cool thing that I would never have thought of, but I love it so much. Or like, oh yeah, like how, why didn't that occur to me? Like, it's always neat to be like, oh, there's people's brains are amazing, and I love when they get together and make a thing. And just getting to feel like, oh, like I put some containers, but the thing contained is so much cooler than the container. You know, it's like you built some cool flower pots and then like everyone's going to town doing their actual flowers. And now if I were Ophelia, I would remember the names of the actual flowers, but instead I'm blanking and just saying generic nouns. But no, I'm a part of me is like, I can make it out there, but I'm like, it's also, you know, the eclipse is coming. And I'm like, well, you know, both of these things only happen ever once in a blue moon. So, or an absence of moon, or whatever the, I clearly I'm nailing the astronomy. You're going to get all these calls from astronomers being like, you know, we don't know what she was saying about playwriting checked out. And certainly what she was saying about driving seemed very misleading, but we know she's wrong about the moon. The moon is not going anywhere. The moon is still where it is.
As a public speaker, Alexander is a fantastic writer.
I want to know which came first, how did you end up being a satirist for the Washington Post? Were you a playwright first, or were you a comic writer, or how did that all sort of how is it evolving and how did it evolve?
Well, sure. No, I always knew I wanted to be a writer. I wasn't sure what kind of writer, but I knew that I wanted to be a writer. And I was lucky enough that I got to intern at the Post. And at the end of the summer internship, they were like, well, we hear you're supposed to be going to like grad school to study Renaissance poetry, but what if you stayed? What if you stayed and kept writing? And I was like, well, that's since what I want to do is keep writing, I guess I'll do that. But all the time that I've been at the Post and all the time, even before I was at the Post, I was always writing plays. I have been, yeah, those are my two deep loves. And like, sometimes if you'll read a column that I've written, you'll be like, why is this all in dialogue with stage director? That it's like, because she, the playwright is hard to root out. Those are two plants that I intend to keep watering, just to go fully in on these metaphors. We're committed now.
No, it's fantastic and enviable. I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
You're a playwright who's actually getting a paycheck. That's remarkable.
Yeah. Bravo.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to us. And also thank you for being, I'm sure, the first person in the 902-week history of the Reduced Shakespeare Company to use the phrase, there's a funny quote by W.H. Auden.
Ha. Huh. Well, my favorite W.H. Auden quote, as long as we're going whole hog, is he's like, I tried LSD once, nothing much happened, but I did get the distinct impression that some birds were trying to talk to me. And I'm just like, yeah, all right, W.H. Auden, having a good old time.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Alexandra Petri's Tragedy Averted is having its Midwest premiere this weekend at the I.O. Theater in Chicago. D. Ryan's production will also feature live music by C.D. Prom and new parody lyrics by Good Tickle Brain herself, Mia Gosling. Two performances only this Saturday, March 23rd at 10 p.m. and Sunday, March 24th at 3 p.m. For tickets, go to eventbrite.com. Then send us your crisis-solving play via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespearience.com. You can follow Alexandra Petri on Twitter, which I refuse to call X unless I can pronounce it 10, at Petri Dishes, and on Instagram at This Username Is Terrible. All one word. Thanks as always to creepy camp counselor Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Mariana Kelly. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mia Gosling, parody song lyric writer extraordinaire and creator of Good Tickle Brain, the internet's greatest and possibly only Shakespearean web comic. Check her out at goodticklebrain.com. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 902-2706th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Kind of person who's like, oh, I see W.H. Auden gave some Shakespeare lectures and they put them in a book and I can read those for fun. So, you know, I'm not fun to take to the beach is what I'm saying.
The nerd is strong with you and I applaud it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.